There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
If you've ever been to Middlesbrough, in the northeast of England, there is a thing called the Transporter Bridge up there. I fell off the rocks next to the Transporter Bridge and onto almost into the sea.
Is there a single landmark on the face of this earth that you do not have an anecdote about?
That I have not injured myself at. I was standing looking at this thing and fell from the quayside onto the rocks, tore my trousers
spotting.
Open. Yes, I was exactly doing that with some friends, and I fell off and cut myself and damaged my leg. There we go. So our next guest is from exactly that area, Gary Hind, ex-jockey by a few years, and of course he was very much involved in the Dubai World Cup. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Real pleasure. Nice to have you in the studio with us.
Yeah, we're wanting to look at the business of actually being a jockey. World Cup this weekend, obviously. From our point of view, it's all sort of frocks and fascinators. But from your point of view, obviously, it's a business. You used to ride for a Godolphin. You've been a champion here in Dubai. You've had a ride in the big race and a lot in the carnivals as well. How do you actually end up being a jockey? What are the prerequisites?
Well, it varies, obviously. You could be inherited from the family interest. They maybe love horses. I was from a working class background. It was typical football and followed horse racing in the northeast. So it can vary. The one specific is, if you're going to make it, is you're going to be good at it, but B, it's weight restricted.
Right, so you need to be slight.
Yeah. The modern generation of lads are a lot different than the size I certainly am now and was.
Really?
So...
You may have heard us, if you've been listening to the show for the last 3 hours, you've heard that we've got a big box of Easter eggs here, 30 Easter eggs, and they're sitting in front of Gary. His challenge is to eat them all by the end of this interview. He's politely declined, saying that has been about, what, a month's food for you.
That
in the
would
old
have been
days.
A month's sweet, for sure.
How much did you eat when you were racing? How did you keep your weight down?
Well, the beauty about the UK is that you're racing every day, so you're massively busy in the summer when you're doing well. You're riding an afternoon meeting and an evening meeting. So we didn't eat. We lived on fresh air. You sort of look now and realise how fit you were and how little you didn't eat. It's very, very good nowadays. Modern science and nutrition is brilliant. They've got such a bigger advantage than in my day, which it was, I'm afraid, a poor diet and saunering, sitting in the sauna. And your weight really up and down.
I used to go to a health club that had lots of jockeys using it, and they spent like hours in the sauna, literally hours in the sauna, and then in a day just to try and keep their weight down or get down to a certain weight level. Did you have to do that as well?
Yeah, it's that. I mean, I always rode a little bit too light. I was always looked at as, oh, Gary's a lightweight jockey, but I rode light. I probably rode a pound or two too light. But it's that last little bit that you're trying to get out. There's nothing inside you, basically, and you're just trying to sweat out your fluids. But it's a hellish way of doing a sport. You already get dehydrated. Yeah. See, I mean, it's your concentration goes, you cramp up. Not easy.
Talk to us about the money. What's the money like for being a jockey? I just see Frankie Dettori in OK magazine, but I'm presuming he's the exception, not the rule.
Well, it's like any sport, elite couple or few that people know and recognise as a sort of role model or what they foresee as what it is. But take that away. The short answer is the average jockey earns a very average salary. And I put it into context. A recent study showed that the top three UK British-based jockeys only earned as much as the 200th positioned golfer on the PGA Tour. Roughly, that was about £215,000. I'll say sterling because I think my knowledge is really from the UK, although I rode in a lot of countries. But that puts into context what...
You say that, but I mean, you are, what, fourth on the UAE all-time top jockeys list in terms of winnings and earnings, right?
Still.
The fourth. I don't know whether this money attached here, I don't know whether I can talk about this, and whether it's actually money that you received or was...
But he's probably going to do it anyway.
Go ahead.
I've got a figure of 12 million dirhams here. 180 wins, 12 million dirhams. Is that money that gets in your pocket, or how much do you get of that?
Depends. Some racing authorities produce or display a figure that's yours after deductions, because basically you're getting...
Does that sound sort of something, a figure that you might recognise, 12 million dirhams?
Well, I think I've done well for myself, but I'd struggle. Probably that's what I probably earned and got my percentage of. I'll give you an example of a jockey A. This is factual. A top flat rider with a host of big race wins to his name. He rode about 1,000 horses, which is a hell of a lot of going up and down the country in the UK. Okay, a lot of risk, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Earning 90,000 before expenses and taxes. Share of almost 2 million in prize money was almost 100,000. Bottom line, 190,000 before tax and expenses.
That's in 1 year.
Yeah, now give or take, you have a lot of expenses.
Because you've got a lot of people to pay who work with you on the way, haven't
we
you?
We have quite a lot taken out. You've got valeting, the guy that looks after yourself in the tack room, your expenses for up and down the country. In the summer, when you're doing two meetings, you are flying quite a bit. Give or take that, petrol, paying a driver, a lot of expenses, percentage to the
agents.
Jockeys Association, your agent, insurances. I'm not getting the little violin out. They make a dice money. At that, but that £190,000, there's probably not many make more than that.
I'm going to apologise for asking this question, but I think I've got to ask it probably while we're talking about money, because there is money involved, and it's probably what's behind attempts at cheating in all sport, really. We've just seen it with cricket in Australia. What about the sport of horse racing? I mean, we occasionally, stories come up with doping and other stories like that. How rife is it?
The UK is very straight. I think for a short time before it got regulated, this thing called Betfair came in, where you could actually gamble on what was going to lose. That aside, you got the lovely Dick Francis books that they are based on fact. Yes, where there's money, there's always going to be corruption, but racing is pretty damn straight, really.
He was a jockey, wasn't he, Dick Francis?
Dick Francis.
Yeah, he knew the business.
Well, he was famous for what the race he didn't win on Devon Lock, jumping a shadow in the Grand National, a very famous jump race.
What separates the ones that are good from the ones that aren't?
Like any sport, really. Of course, you depend on the horse a little bit. But judgment of tempo, tactics, strength in a finish, how you come across to the owners, that's not so important. But a lot of variables. Difficult to put into one little category. It's like you could easily look at a Formula One driver and say, well, fastest car wins, doesn't it? Actually not.
But a Formula One driver, though, for instance, will enjoy fast cars, and that's maybe it's his love of fast cars that's got him into Formula One in the first place. And Richard Dean, still in his 40s, convinces himself he can play golf because he loves golf, and he'll still have a crack at it. For you, I mean, was it a love of horses? Did most jockeys really love horses? Is that how they got into it? And is it something they continue to do when they retire?
Well, theoretically, I am retired. I live, like I told you slightly off air, that I live in Prague, Czech Republic, and I'd spent a year after finishing riding doing nothing apart from learning to ski badly and missed the horses. I genuinely love horses. I like hanging around the stables and being around horses.
Have you got horses now in Czechoslovakia?
No. Or you can't say Czechoslovakia. My wife will be saying, oh dear, another one saying it. Another Brit, Czech Republic.
Prague.
Václav Havel. but I always get ribbed because they all say, oh, like, Gary, you might as well be from Czech Republic now because you're always saying things about it. But no, I don't have a horse at home. I've got a cat.
slightly different.
Saddle it up. Listen, we really appreciate you coming in to talk to us. We've learned quite a lot. Anything else to add, Brennus?
Yeah, I want to know who you fancy for this weekend.
Ah.
Well, I'd love to think that we can have a winner for Saeed Bin Sarua and Godolphin. Our best chance is probably a horse called Ben Battle. The big race, I think the Americans will win with Bob Baffert's. The name just of the horse has gone by me. I think it's War something. The Americans will win. It's a very competitive meeting. Like any sport, you need an element of luck on the day.
What about Thundersnow there in gate number 10?
He's looked vulnerable. He's probably, hand on heart, better on grass. He'll be in the shake-up, but he might be a bridge too far for him to say that he's going to win it.
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for coming in and talking about the Dubai World Cup and also your experience of life as a jockey, what it was like as a career choice. Really appreciate it. Gary Hind, ex-jockey, thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.